Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing today? Good? That's good. So I'm John, and I've been attending this church for quite a long time, and I'd just like to open in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the opportunity to come together and worship in a safe place. And I just pray for all of us that we can learn something today. In your name, amen. So, as many of you know, or some of you know, I used to play for the VIU Mariners badminton team. So I'm right up there in the corner. And so I played on the VIU Mariners for about 3 years, and it was a great time. Playing on a team is fun. You get to know each of the members really well. And I actually made a really good friendship with four of the players. And so those four players, we're like one of those TV sitcoms where we only hang out with each other every single day. Like, we would go to the gym together every day, and then we'd play badminton in between our classes, and then we'd play board games at night. And so, like, every single day we spent together. And around that time, I was struggling with God's reason for me to be on the badminton team. So what I've really found that he was telling me was that I needed to witness to these four players, right? So I was like, okay, great, I have a purpose, this is what I need to do. Yes, I was afraid because witnessing and sharing Jesus is kind of scary, but I felt like that's what I needed to do. So I started inviting them to church. Unfortunately, they never came to church, but I invited them to young adults groups, and they came to those, and they got to hear the gospel there, and that was amazing. I also got to take them to a worship night, and they got to hear the gospel there, and that was great. It was kind of weird for them singing to some deity that they don't know who they are, so that was interesting. But so I got many opportunities to witness them. One night, I even got to read the Bible to them and explain what it meant for Jesus, who died on the cross for their sins. I got to explain that to them. And so I was really hopeful. So many opportunities had come forward, and they would ask questions, and everything was going great. And so we get around to about year three of myself playing on the badminton team, and everything kind of just falls apart. One of the players, he decides that he's going to move to UBC, so he's gone. And then another person breaks up with her boyfriend and heads to Victoria. And so the group kind of just fell apart, and I felt like my mission to share the gospel with these people was a complete disaster, like utter failure. There's no progress. None of them are following Jesus. And I felt like a failure. Like, I'd been given all this time to witness to four people. How hard could it be? And none of them were following Jesus today. And not only did I feel like a failure, I felt like I failed God, and I failed my mission in life. And so, thinking about it, I don't think I'm the only one that has felt this way. I think there's people here today who have friends that they've witnessed to that have never said yes to Jesus. I think there's parents in here who've tried to raise Christian kids, but their kids have decided not to, right? And I'm sure that there's siblings, or there's brothers and sisters here who have siblings who are not here today, and you just wish that they could be here. And so I would like to think of ourselves, moving to a lighter note, as gardeners. So when I was younger, my dad always took us to the garden to garden, I guess. So he really likes gardening. Me, not so much, but that's okay. So when we're in the garden, I came up with this, because I was younger, I came up with this idea that directly proportion, the plants would grow directly proportionate to how much I watered them. So all the plants that I wanted to water, like the berry bushes, ended up something like that. Right? So sometimes they would drown, and my dad explained to me that that's probably not a good idea. And I think that's a lot like our Christian walk, right? So the people that we really care about or really want to see follow Jesus, friends, family, we kind of just pour tons of water on them, right? Then there's the opposite. So sometimes we're making a garden, right? And a random bush will pop up. And normally it's like blackberries or weeds, right? And we don't really try to make them grow, right? We don't water them, right? They kind of just sprout out of nowhere. And again, I think that's a lot like our lives, right? When we share, or when we barely know someone, or we meet a stranger, and we share Jesus with them, and then boom, they're following Jesus and they're making fruit. So it doesn't really make sense. So going further into our predicament, I would like to talk about Jonah. So many of you know the story of Jonah, but what happened with Jonah is he was a prophet. Now, if you don't know what a prophet is someone who God talks to and sends messages to send to God's people, or just any people. So Jonah received a message from God that he needed to go to Nineveh, which is a city with a whole lot of bad people. And they were like killing and sinning and all that stuff. So Jonah is thinking, I'm really afraid of these people because they're bad, first of all. And the second, I'm supposed to go tell them that they're all going to die in 40 days. So it seems like a very risky enterprise. So Jonah, instead of going, decides that he's going to get on a boat, which I don't recommend you get on a boat to run away from God. But he gets on a boat, and he starts sailing the other way. Now God makes a storm come up, and this is the storm. And so everything's not going very well in the boat. The crew's freaking out. They're praying and to all their different gods. And Jonah's actually sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Anyway, so they go and they wake him up, and he comes and he prays with them. Then they're like, okay, we need to figure out what's the problem here, right? None of the gods are stopping the storm. So Jonah says, well, if I'm the one, I'm running away from God. So he's caused the storm to come up, and to stop the storm, you need to throw me overboard. So I don't think Jonah at this time is thinking, I'm going to get thrown overboard and eaten by a fish and spat out on the beach. I think he's thinking, I'm going to get thrown overboard, drown, and die. So he gets thrown overboard, something like that. And so he's sinking down, and he's like, okay, this is the end. His life is probably flashing before his eyes. He's like, I should have just gone to Nineveh. Maybe, maybe not. Anyways, the next thing he sees is this, and he gets swallowed by a fish. So he's in this fish right there, just hanging out. And of course, the only thing you can really do in the belly of a fish is probably pray, or I don't think you can do anything else, or get dissolved. So yeah, you got options. So he's praying. He's praying in the belly of this fish, and he's saying sorry for the different things he's done, and he's saying that he'll go back to Nineveh and all that stuff. So God tells the fish in 3 days to spit him out onto the sand. So Nineveh's on the sand, and he decides that he's going to, or sorry, not Nineveh, Jonah's on the sand, and he decides he's going to head to Nineveh. So he heads to Nineveh, and he tells everybody that they're going to die in 40 days. Yeah. So he's telling everybody, and because he's smart, he decides that if they're all going to die in 40 days, he wants to avoid the explosion. So he gets out of there and goes up on a mountain. So he's up on the mountain, and he's like just waiting for all of Nineveh to die, right? He's really excited for this, right? If you're a prophet and something that, and when God tells you something's going to happen, and then you wait for it to happen, right? He's waiting for it to happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's really awkward because then you're not a very good prophet. So Jonah's up on his mountain waiting for it to happen, and he doesn't really care about the Ninevites. And God tells them, oh, by the way, and then Nineveh, all the Ninevites, they decide that they are going to repent, and they're going to say sorry to God, and they're going to put on burlap sacks and get in ashes and just be really humble, right? They're saying, we're really sorry, God. And of course, God tells Jonah, hey, I'm not going to destroy Nineveh anymore. They seem really sorry. And so he changed his mind, and Nineveh's all safe. And Jonah's like, great, now I don't look very smart. So, now, what can we take from this story? So, one thing I find really unfair here is I really cared about my team, my badminton players that I played with, and they're my friends. I loved them so much, and I really tried really hard to share the gospel with them. Okay? And Jonah, he went to a city, like a ton of people, right? Thousands of people, probably. And he said, you're all going to die, right? And he didn't care about them, right? He was expecting them to die. And they changed their ways, and they turned to God. So what's not fair is he doesn't love them. He doesn't care about them. I loved my friends, and I cared about my friends, and I wanted to see change in their life. So why didn't my friends become Christians and follow Jesus and not the Ninevites? So the answer to our predicament is we are part of a team. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. And it continues to say, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. So, the important part to highlight there is that it doesn't matter how much we do, right? It's we're supposed to water, we're supposed to prune the plants, we're supposed to take care of them, right? But God is the one that makes the growing happen, right? So it's not on us. It says that we'll be rewarded for the work that we do, the hard work that we do. So our job is to tell people, go preach the gospel to everyone, and that's our only job. So another person, actually the person who wrote, or who is a part of writing 1 Corinthians, Paul, he also had a similar story, right? He became a Christian. So his story kind of starts with, his name was Saul, actually, before when this story happened. So he's Saul. And Saul likes killing Christians. Like, that's his purpose. So he's going town to town killing Christians. And one of his buddy tells him that, oh, there's a bunch of Christians at such and such town, and you need to go there and kill some more Christians. So Saul's like, okay, we'll do that. So he starts heading to this town, and this town has a guy named Ananias at it, just heads up. And so Saul is on his way, and Jesus comes to him and blinds him and gives him a vision, and Jesus asks Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul's like, who are you? Right? And Jesus is like, I'm Jesus, why are you persecuting me? And they kind of have a back and forth, and Saul's like, okay, I need to go to this town now. And Jesus tells him to go to this next town to see Ananias, who Saul was going to go kill. So Ananias, at the same time or around the same time, gets a vision from God and says, you need to go meet this guy named Saul, and you need to go pray that he would receive the Holy Spirit and that he would receive his sight back. So Ananias is like, this is kind of scary because this guy's coming to kill Christians, if not me, and I'm supposed to go pray for him. Sounds like a trap, right? So in fact, all of his friends, they were telling him, hey, you shouldn't go meet this guy named Saul, right? He's going to kill you. But Ananias follows God's direction, and he goes to Saul. And he prays for him, and he receives his sight back. He receives his Holy Spirit, receives the Holy Spirit. And I think eventually his name changes to Paul. And then he writes a whole bunch of letters, spreads the gospel throughout the world. And his main mission was to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, who, if you don't know what a Gentile is, it's anyone who's not Jewish. So that's what was Paul's mission, and all Ananias had to do was just go and pray for him, right? Very little effort, and it was pretty scary, though. So that's what Ananias went through. So we have the same mission, right? We're supposed to just go do God's work. We're just supposed to go tell unbelievers about Jesus. And that's why we're here, to glorify God. But the one part that we need to realize is that we are just here to water the plants. We are here to help them grow. We're not the one that makes the growing happen. That's God's job. So we can leave that with him. And we'll be rewarded for the work of watering and helping the plants grow. As a tutor, this concept is something that I deal with every single day. When I work with kids, I can prepare them as much as possible to understand their different concepts in math or whatever it is. And I can give them confidence and give them good habits. But one thing that I can't do is I can't go into the test with them, and I can't help them write the test. And that's the same way when we talk to unbelievers. They have to make the decision. They have to go in to do the test. And so we have to leave that with God and them. So four truths that I would like us to realize this week and go forward and make really prevalent in our lives. So the first one is do God's work. So God's work is to go preach the gospel to all nations. That's God's work, and that's what we're supposed to do. The second part is everyone gets involved. If you look around, we have a whole church family here, and we all want to help each other in our endeavors. So feel free to talk to your neighbor about the different things you're going through and maybe bounce ideas off them, something like that, right? The third is God makes seeds grow. So God makes the difference. He's the one that makes the plants grow, makes people follow Jesus, and changes people's hearts. And the fourth is we'll be rewarded for our hard work. So we just need to go out and do what God tells us to do. As it says in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So that doesn't mean that we need to force people into becoming Christians. This doesn't mean we can somehow change people's hearts to follow Jesus. It just tells us to go preach, go tell people, go build relationships with people. So the challenge I want to leave you with today is this, and it piggybacks off of Mark 16. Go into our city, Nanaimo, Ladysmith, Lanceville, Vancouver Island, BC, and preach the gospel through Alpha, through relationships, other opportunities, youth group, wherever you're at, go preach the gospel. I'd just like to close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to love you and follow you. And I thank you for all the people that you've put in our lives. I thank you that you've put it on our hearts to pray for them and lead them closer to you. And I just pray protection over all of us as we go do that. And I thank you that you're the one that makes the difference in their lives, and that it's not us. And help us to be humble in that way, that we can trust you with all of our relationships and all of our endeavors. In your name, amen.